Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
People, welcome to this Friday Fri-yay edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. No, I am not going to segue into our Current Sports quick hit headliners to begin today's show. I'm gonna kind of throw off things a bit because I got a lot to get off my chest when it concerns the Michigan State men's basketball team, and I know that's exactly what you want to hear about, Spartan fans. We won't waste any time today because I also want you to hear what head men's basketball coach Tom Izzo had to say, also what his players had to say after last night's, and let's just call it like it is. Simple as that. It was an embarrassment. It was an embarrassment last night. Because, you know, this is a team that we expect so much from. A team that has so much talent. And for the Spartans to come out the way they did last night, it was half expected, but you felt as though as the game went along, they were going to get into some kind of groove and turn things around. But they didn't show up at all last night. And right now, I believe we do have a legitimate concern about this team making the NC2A tournament this year. It is not crazy to have that thought right now. And I know an incredibly long streak for Michigan State when it comes to making the tournament. And, you know, you can sit back and say, oh, well, Al, I mean, you know, it's a different year, which it is. I mean, no doubt about it. When it comes to what Michigan State has gone through this season in regards to COVID-19, it isn't an easy year. But I can also counter and say, look, there are other programs out there that are performing better than Michigan State who are also going through COVID-19 outbreaks as well. Other teams are dealing with this. Other leagues are dealing with this and are playing much better basketball than Michigan State is right now. This is a Michigan State problem. And this is a major one. And when you just look at what happened last night, yes, we expected some rust. I didn't expect Michigan State to come out the gates and be lights out. Heck, I wasn't even sure if Michigan State was going to win that game. I thought Rutgers had a great shot. We all know that Rutgers plays great at the rack. They have a superstar in Ron Harper Jr. Miles Thompson is no joke. I wasn't sure that Michigan State was going to win that game. I think the line was like 3 in favor of Michigan State. I wasn't sure. but I thought it would be more competitive than that. If Michigan State was going to lose, I thought it was going to be by, I don't know, single digits at least. But no, that's not what happened last night. And just looking at a few stats that are really just in your face, really just make you scratch your head and wonder if this team can bounce back, because it doesn't get any easier from here, which is why also I don't know if Michigan State is going to make the tournament this year. If they do, it is going to take the greatest coaching performance and the biggest turnaround that we've ever seen in Michigan State men's basketball history. And I don't think I'm exaggerating in saying that, because from here on out, I mean, just looking at the near future here, I mean, Michigan State, they got to turn around and play number 13 Ohio State on Sunday. And then on Tuesday, they got to play Iowa, number 7 Iowa. Then they have Nebraska, Penn State, and then Iowa for a second time come Valentine's Day weekend. And then you play Purdue. That is an incredibly tough stretch, 5-game stretch of basketball for Michigan State to try and rebound. Excuse me, a 6-game stretch of basketball for Michigan State to try and rebound, playing in the best conference in college basketball. So I'm not too confident. You know, I was texting our good friend of the show, my guy, Deshaun Tate, formerly of CBS Radio down in Atlanta, Georgia, college basketball expert, founder and reporter and broadcaster of Tate's Take. You know, Deshaun and I were texting back and forth during that game, and we were both saying this may be an NIT team. Then Deshaun made the point, because it's such a weird college basketball year, and we've seen normal big dogs, normal blue bloods of the college basketball world just flat out struggle this year, despite having so much talent on those rosters. And a lot of that, again, has to do with, you know, how teams are responding to COVID-19 and how it's really tough to find a groove for a lot of programs out there. And it's giving like these middle tier and lower leg, quote unquote, lower leg programs confidence that, look, man, the playing field is even now. You're not into the normal groove that you are at during this time of the year. And you know, we're feeling good. Our confidence is pretty high because the playing field is level. But Deshaun was joking and saying that, Al, there may be more NBA scouts at the NIT than the tournament. Because there may be so many talented, you know, teams, so many big names in college basketball, normal big names in college basketball, who may not make the tournament this year. And yes, Michigan State is now in that mix. It's wild, man. I mean, look at Duke, for goodness sake, right? So Michigan State moving forward doesn't look great. But back to those stats I wanted to bring up before I talked about the schedule. I mean, look at the stats last night. 0 players in double figures. No player for Michigan State scored more than 7 points. Are you kidding me? How about this? 1 for 5 from the free throw line. How about this? 16 for 56 from the floor. How about from beyond the arc? 4 for 20 from three-point range. Michigan State was also out-rebounded 40 to 29. They also allowed 13 offensive rebounds. I mean, when it comes to rebounding, I mean, Michigan State is usually that team, right? If you need a lesson on college basketball rebounding, you look at Michigan State. If you need a lesson on toughness, you look at Michigan State. This is not that team, folks. It's just not. Michigan State looks lost. Completely lost. And, you know, another thing I want to bring up, too, is, you know, you talk about what's happening with this team right now. And I look at that game last night, and it's a confidence issue as well, because the fact that Michigan State only shot 5 free throws last night, you know what that tells me? 5 free throws. I kid you not. You know, we saw Aaron Henry go to the line to shoot 2. A.J. Hogard went to the line. And Josh Langford went to the line to shoot 2 free throws. That was it. Just 3 players. You know what that tells me? That tells me that Michigan State is lacking so much confidence right now. They won't even take the ball out of the basket to try and get fouled. They won't even do that. They're relying on all of these jumpers. 56 jumpers, folks. Well, I shouldn't say all of them weren't jumpers. I mean, they were 16 and 56 from the floor. But you know, 23-pointers. I'm curious to know. I'm trying to find the advanced stats about how many jumpers they did take. Because I don't think they took many shots in the paint. I'll just say that. Because, like I've been saying throughout the year, and it's pretty obvious to see, Michigan State has a big problem. A big, big problem. I don't mean that literally. I mean that in terms of, because we all know they have a big problem right now when it comes to losing games. But they don't have bigs on the team that can dominate a game the way that they've historically had throughout the Tom Izzo era. You know, just looking at recent history, they don't have that guy like a Nick Ward who can go get a bucket down lower or grab a rebound. Or a guy like Xavier Tillman, X-Man, who's now in the NBA, who can go out there, grab a rebound, or create his own offense. They don't have that. And I thought last night, first off, I was shocked that, you know, coming off of what Travion Williams was able to do against Michigan State in that Purdue game 20 days prior to, that going against a team in Rutgers where you got, you know, a big man and Miles Johnson who does work, and coming off a game like that, I thought that Marcus Bingham was going to get a start here. That didn't happen, though. Your starting lineup last night was Thomas Kithier, Aaron Henry, Joey Hauser, Rocket Watts, and A.J. Hogard. I was shocked that Josh Langford didn't start, but maybe it's a rhythm thing in trying to, you know, get Josh back acclimated to real game action, because he was also one of the players who had COVID-19. So Rocket Watts is thrown back into the starting lineup. Hogard was running the point. Hauser, Henry, and Kithier rounded out your top. Your starting five, I should say. But after that horrid start, in which Michigan State was down like what, 15-0? It just kept growing. It was like, you know, 8-0, then 10-0, 12, 15. And then you saw Tom say, all right, get in there, Marcus. And then Marcus came into the game. And I tweeted this out last night. Watching that game, you could really see a difference just in how Michigan State looked and how they moved on both ends of the floor. Especially defensively. I mean, just having Marcus Bingham in there. I mean, we're talking about a 7-footer. His length alone can alter shots. He's not that big of a guy when it comes to weight and heft, but he can alter shots because he's just so darn long, and he gave Rutgers some problems. And then he was able to snag a few, rebounds. You know, he finished with, 7 rebounds, just 4 points, though, 2 for 6. I mean, Marcus Bingham still has a long way to go. And he's not necessarily a dominant big man. But his size alone, just having him in there, especially when you're going against, you know, prolific bigs in the Big Ten, like a Miles Johnson last night, he can cause some problems, and he gives you a better chance of winning, I should say. But he didn't start. And I thought he was going to start the second half. He didn't start the second half either. It was just a six-point game at halftime, and you just kind of felt like, okay, Michigan State can get things together here and come out the gates in the second half and possibly take the lead. That didn't happen, and they in fact, look worse, arguably worse than they did at the beginning of the game. When you look at the start of that second half, you can make an argument that they look worse there than they did to start the game. They were outscored 41-17 in the second half. An embarrassing performance. I don't know what other way you can put this. But from moving forward, I don't think Thomas Kithier should be starting. I would throw in Marcus Bingham in that starting lineup. And it would be Bingham, Henry, Langford, Hauser, and Hogarth. That's how it would look for me. But there are so many problems right now. You know, Matty Sissoko, he only played 5 minutes. And this is a Tom Izzo problem, too. He's got some questions to answer. I don't, you know, and I get it. Michigan State, you know, hadn't played any game since January 8th when they lost to Purdue. So I understand Tom Izzo wants to be cautious with certain players, and he wants to, you know, kind of feel things out. But you know, look, man, when that boat is starting to take on water, all of that goes out the window, and you got to play guys. Especially when you are 8-5 overall, and you've only won two games in the Big Ten Conference. It's winning time now, because if you don't win, you are going to be in the bubble. And you are possibly going to miss out on the tournament. That's what's at stake here. And I don't know. I just don't know if this team can turn it around. I just don't. You know, I you look at Izzo, and usually his teams are clicking around this time of the year. But again, this is a different year. And, you know, again, I'm looking at this box score. It's tough to look at. It really is. You know, it's like, where do you start, right? You start to try and figure this out. You know, I ask myself, okay, what can they cling on to? I just don't know. I do not know where you start. I think this team will be watching. I don't, if they get an NIT bid, I don't think they will accept that. No disrespect to the NIT, but you know, the expectations are much bigger for Michigan State. And we're talking, you know, talking about a team and a program that historically makes Elite Eights, Sweet 16s, and Final Fours on the regular. NIT, in the midst of a pandemic, nonetheless. No, I don't think they'll accept that bid. They'll probably be watching the NCAA tournament from home. And after the game, and you'll get a chance in just a moment to hear from Tom Izzo and Josh Langford. After the game, Aaron Henry. After the game, Aaron Henry, he took full responsibility for the loss. You know, saying, hey, it's on me. We can't play like that. It's on me. And it's not just you, Aaron. I think we all know that. You know, I'm very puzzled about Rocket Watts as well. You know, all of the hype around Rocket Watts, dynamic guard, he can come in and create his own shot. He's an incredible scorer. I'm not seeing that right now. Now, granted, I will say this. I think him not getting that championship postseason experience in the tournament last year, it did not help him. But still, man, I mean, we're right into the thick of the things when it comes to this season, and I haven't seen much from him. It's a confidence issue, I think. You know, and it's not like he was running point guard last night either. I mean, Tom Izzo was even said, look, you don't even have to run point. Be our shooting guard. Be your natural position. And he just looks out of sync. Looks lost. Confidence blown. 4 points, 3 turnovers, 2 assists, 1 rebound, 25 minutes of play. He was 2 of 7 from the floor. Then the guy that you rely on offensively, I mean, Aaron Henry, you know, he's taking responsibility because you look at his stat sheet. I mean, he took the most shots out of anybody. He was 3 of 10 from the floor, 0 of 4 from deep for just 7 points, 6 turnovers. He played the most out of any player, 34 points. There are so many problems with this Michigan State men's basketball team. And I think we all got to just get comfortable right now. Get it comfy in our brain, even though we got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable in knowing that this team will probably not make the big dance. That is just the reality of it. I'm not being uber negative when I say that. I'm not being sinister when I say that. I am being real. If this team somehow, some way, turns it around, when looking at this schedule moving forward, you got Ohio State on national television this Sunday on CBS, Iowa, Nebraska, Penn State, then you play Iowa again, and then we don't know. I mean, they'll probably try and squeeze in, you know, a game against Michigan at some point here, right? And Michigan right now, you know, number 4. Playing in this conference, to expect, you know, the light bulb to just pop on for Michigan State is very highly unlikely. And this falls on Tom Izzo, too. Tom Izzo, you know, and you know, he's been to 22 straight. That is what is at stake right now. 22 straight NCAA tournament appearances. And he's trying to go to number 23. 2-5 in the Big Ten right now. You know, and really, we don't know how many games are left here. We just don't, you know, because of COVID-19, everything is up in the air and a lot of question marks there. But again, Iowa, Michigan, Illinois, Ohio State, they need to finish at least 8-12 to get in. That's if they play a full slate. And right now they only have 2 wins. Can you find, it comes down to this question. Can you find 6 more wins in the Big Ten? Can you find 6 more? I don't know. And there's so much criticism. This is just as much on Tom Izzo as it is the players as well. We can't ignore that as well. We love Tom here in East Lansing. He is basically he's the mayor here. He runs things. He's that guy. He's a brilliant basketball mind. We're talking about a Basketball Hall of Fame coach. But him right now, he is not above criticism when looking at, and he knows this, looking at what's wrong with Michigan State. I think it's warranted. And granted, he's trying to juggle this COVID-19 thing, which is, you know, nobody knows how to juggle that thing. It is a weird, different season. 20-day hiatus, folks. Only a couple of full practices and some individual practices with players sprinkled in. But going back to that starting lineup that had been so bad to start the game, why? Why? It was a 6-point game there, and then Rutgers begins the half on a 9-2 run with Marcus Bingham on the bench. And the game was never close again. That is a coaching mistake. It is. You started the game without Bingham in the starting lineup, dug yourself a like 15 to nothing hole, and then the second half you do the same thing, and Rutgers goes on a 9-2 run and just blows you out of the water. That's a coaching mistake. And it's not on the players. Thomas Kithier is just not that guy. He can't slow down Miles Johnson. He's too small. Way too small. Michigan State's problem at center is that they don't have a dominant big. But at least Marcus Bingham at 7 feet can come in and do something. Alter a few shots. That's on Izzo. Part of why they lost last night. Then you look at the game against Purdue. That was also a coaching mistake. Bingham should have played more in that game as well. And who ate that day? Travion Williams. All day. One man basically beat Michigan State against, you know, in that game against Purdue. And then you look at the best player, you know, then it goes to the players, you know, Aaron Henry, 7.6 turnovers at your best score. I mean, come on. He can't play that bad. Bad offensive team, bad defensive team as well. I made this point on Fox 47's press pass with Jack Ebling and Tom Crawford on Sunday. As Jack asked me what I think the biggest problem with this team is, and I think it's defense. This team is not a great defensive team. They've got some good individual, and I say good, not great, some good individual defenders. You know, Rocket Wise is one of those guys. But I don't see a lockdown guy defensively for Michigan State. And I gave props to Foster Lawyer last night. You know, he's so undersized, and he's got a lot of criticism as well, the star from Clarkson. But, you know, Foster Lawyer would go out there and pick up some offensive fouls on you. He did last night. I mean, he's so small, he finds a way to annoy you and, you know, pick up a charge there or cause you to, you know, use your offhand on him. Crafty defender, for sure. But Michigan State does not have a lockdown defender. They don't. Bad defensive team. The guards give up penetration left and right. And when you give up penetration and you already don't have an inside presence, that just spells L-A-Y-U-P and D-U-N-K. Play after play after play. And then Joey Hauser, you got to play better. You got to play better. Joey Hauser, all the hype surrounded around him. Michigan State finally gets Joey Hauser back. And other than Hauser's amazing 27-point performance against Wisconsin back on Christmas, Hauser hasn't been great. He just hasn't. You know, Hauser is actually 12 for 36 shooting in Big Ten games outside of the Wisconsin game. I mean, these are guys. I mean, you look at Aaron Henry, Joey Hauser. These are guys who are supposed to be Michigan State's go-to players. If he figures this out somehow, some way, again, it will be the best coaching performance in his entire career. And it also makes you admire it a bit, doesn't it? When you look at a year like this, and you look at how hard it is to make the tournament in the Big Ten, it's pretty remarkable that, you know, Michigan State has made it 22 straight times. Man, it's crazy. Now it's in jeopardy, though. And I don't believe they can do this. It's a bit of reverse psychology for me right now, because in the past when I've doubted Tom Izzo, like the very next game, something happens, something special happens, and they do figure it out. And best believe Tom Izzo was trying to figure this out. As you hear from him in just a moment, you know, he said, "Hey, man, I'm going to the hotel. I'm going to watch film on this game and try and see what's going on here." Never doubt Tom Izzo. But in a year like this, that doubt is warranted, folks. This is not your usual college basketball year. What say you? Do you believe Michigan State can turn this baby around and make the NCAA tournament, or are the problems way too big, way too numerous, way too glaring for them to try and plug the holes in this boat? I want to hear from you guys. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Leave us a voicemail at that number. You can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. And you can also leave us a comment at our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. A few tweets from last night. I just read a couple of them last night. This one comes from Corey Linsner. The game started. That's what he tweeted to me last night when I was tweeting about the game. This one comes from at Ohio MSU fan. How are they this bad? Like no one on the court in green could score 20 points if they were out there alone. It's really bad right now, folks. You can weigh in that way when we come back. You'll hear from Tom Izzo and Aaron Henry on last night's loss. You are listening to the Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. You heard my thoughts in segment A concerning the woes of Michigan State men's basketball as they fell to Rutgers in Piscataway last night, 67-37, the final, as Michigan State now falls to 2-5 in the Big Ten Conference, 8-5 overall. Rutgers played great, came out the gates firing on all cylinders on the Spartans, and Michigan State battled back, made it a 6-point game at the half, but the second half was much of the same that we saw at the very beginning of the game, and they rolled to a 30-point win. So, I want to play the post-game press conference, a bit of it, from last night, and you're going to hear head coach Tom Izzo, followed by Aaron Henry. Here's what they had to say after last night's loss.
Yeah, you know, probably disappointed. It'd be an easy opening statement. You know, I didn't know what we'd do, and I thought we started out like I hope not to, but I thought that's the way it was. And I give us a lot of credit that we fought back and cut it to 4. And, you know, after shooting terrible and turning the ball over so much, if I told you what the keys to the game were, that was one: not giving up any missed free throws. They only got 11 and they didn't miss many. But offensively, you know, Josh had some great looks. He was 1 for 8. Malik had some great looks. He was 1 for 6. And, you know, we just, they did a good job defensively. We did a poor job, but you have 33 points off turnovers. That's a big part of the game. You have 21 turnovers. And even coming out of halftime, we first 3 possessions were turnover, turnover, turnover. So we didn't do a very good job, and that falls on me.
Our first question comes from Chris Solari.
Yeah, Tom, that was actually the thing that I was going to ask you about, those 2 5-minute stretches to start the halves. Just kind of sloppy. I mean, is that rust from not having game competition and kind of maybe the body forgetting what you need to do certain times?
No, I don't think so. I thought Aaron in a couple of huddles said it best. He said, you know, there's no excuse for the turnovers. There's no excuse. I mean, our defense wasn't great, but it probably wasn't bad when you think about they only scored 67 points with 100 turnovers. And there's no excuse to just dribble it in and pass it to a guy. And I thought they brought a little more energy. I thought we had one of our best shoot-arounds today. I thought we had a good practice yesterday. I'm sure we have a little COVID hangover. I understand that, but that will not be an excuse for the way we played. That would be a good excuse for losing a game, but not the way we played.
As a follow, how do you approach this game moving ahead? I mean, do you kind of bury it? Do you focus in on it? Harp on it?
You want me to give you a Mike Krzyzewski answer on the question like that? I mean, I haven't even looked at the film yet, so I won't do that. I really don't care about the next game. I to be perfectly honest with you, all I want to do is get back to the hotel and take a look at the film and figure out were the turnovers as ridiculous as I thought, or was the defense better than I thought? But we did not have the energy. I thought we had more energy in practice yesterday, which was only our third practice, with the up and down than we had tonight. And, so frustration sets in, and then you start making even worse plays. But, I'll worry about the next game tomorrow. I'm going to worry about this game and see if I can figure out why my key guys. I mean, I think Aaron had 6 and Rocket had 3 and I think Foster had 3 and I think, I think my 4 guards between them had 15 or 16 turnovers. And I can't give all the credit to Rutgers, but I can give them more than their share of credit because they played awfully well. First time ever, they went 9-for-11 from the free throw line. They played well. We played poorly.
Up next, Matt Charbonneau.
Tom, I feel like there's a lot of things we can look at and try and dissect and everything here and wonder why it happened. But the shooting specifically, a lot of good open looks at times tonight. I mean, it might be simple to say that's because you haven't had a lot of time in the gym, but is it hard to kind of pinpoint why so many of those open looks you just weren't making shots?
Well, I swear to you, Matt, I mean, that's the best question I've had, because I'm the two things that I really felt like, we weren't great defensively, but we weren't bad. I mean, they shot 43 and 43 and 26. I mean, considering all the layups they got off turnovers, that's probably not bad. Josh, I probably played him too many minutes. That was my fault. I didn't know if I could play him at all, and he felt not very good 2 days ago, but yesterday he felt a lot better. And he was okay during the game as far as his wind and everything. But, I can see where he missed some, but we had some other guys that just missed some wide-open shots. You're right. Especially the start of the second half, you had a couple of those, and it changes the game. But we didn't, and then the game got away from us, and that's probably my fault, to be honest with you.
Up next, Lindsey Huddleston.
Hey Tom, tough outing for sure. I'm sure every coach in America wants to know at the 16:41 mark, what did you say to your team when they were down 0-10 that ended up allowing you to have a salvageable first half when it was all said and done?
Like a true positive question. I appreciate that. I told them that we just got to get it one play at a time, because we were trying to get it back too fast. We were just playing a little bit out of control, and we weren't moving the ball from side to side. And we talked about it all week. I mean, Aaron went over it before the game and even after the game, said the same thing. We talked about it all week that we got to move the ball, because we didn't think they were as good defensively. They give up 45%. But we just didn't move it. We had a lot of one-on-one. We didn't throw back. We didn't do the things that I thought we could do. Is it because some of those guys hadn't practiced at all? Is it because we just did a poor job? Or is it because, Rutgers played well? And Rutgers deserves some credit. Steve's a great coach, and they did a good job. So I just told them, hey, we'll get it back when, we had missed a couple layups. Thomas Kithier missed the layup. I think it was Rocket missed a wide open shot, and somebody else did. And I said, we're getting good enough shots. And then I thought we went into a stretch where we did move the ball better and got some shots, and we started making some, got our break going. second half, we just reverted back to one-on-one play, and I think they took us out of the game, and give them credit for that.
Well, thank you.
Up next, Bob Wojnarowski.
Hey there, Tom.
How you doing, Bob?
Good, thanks. You've had teams before in stretches before in the middle of a season that things have gone awry a little bit, and you've pulled it together always. But this is a unique season, obviously, a unique situation. How difficult will this one be to pull together, and are you confident you can do it?
You know, I said last week when I kind of went off on everybody, because I don't think anybody realizes how hard it is during this pandemic, but I thought it was pretty apropos as we got on the bus today after our testing, and a couple guys came out and said, first time I ever saw it, they said, I'm not positive. And it makes me wonder, you know, how much that's on some of their mind. But like I said, with Gabe out, with Josh out, with guys not being able to practice, with eight guys, it's I just don't know, Bob, if that was the reason. That's why I said I want to look at the film. So I thought we did a lot of poor things, but turn the ball over and get 33 points off turnovers, you know, that's fixable because we won't do that again. So you're right. I've been here before. That's the nice thing about a long career. You've kind of gone through a lot of different phases. And but we got to get some guys playing a little better. Hauser's got to play better. You know, Josh, we got to get him back healthy. And you know, I thought Rocket, he had such a good couple days of practice. I thought he was going to play his best game when I watched him in warm-ups today, but it just and they got after him too. I mean, they got after Aaron, they got after him.
Hey Aaron, I guess the return to the court versus the rust versus things that you guys just didn't do. Where do you kind of pin this right now? And what was that locker room like afterward?
You know, personally, I put this on me from a leadership standpoint, my role on the team. It had nothing to do with 20 days off. It had nothing to do with the time we missed. It's my mental approach. And honestly, it starts with me. You know, just the intensity and the intangible things just weren't there. You know, a shot didn't fall. And it's Big Ten basketball, man. A lot of shots are going to fall for a lot of teams. It's who competes the hardest. And tonight we didn't compete. And then I'll take responsibility for that.
As a follow to that, those first maybe 5 minutes of each half, the turnovers that happened there, was there between the two halves, was there something in common that was going wrong?
Just the attention to detail. You know, the following the scouting report, knowing they rallied to the ball, the kickouts were open. A lot of guys, the ball was stagnant a lot. And again, that starts with me. I had 6 turnovers tonight. Didn't shoot the ball well. And as a leader, I can't do that. You know, it starts at the head. And I'll take responsibility for that.
Next question is from Lindsey Huddleston.
Hey, Aaron, I definitely heard you loud and clear. You're taking responsibility. You're being accountable. My question is, how do you help the rest of the team turn the page right now? I mean, there's going to be headlines. This is Rutgers' first win in program history against Michigan State. How do you help your teammates move on from tonight?
Again, it starts with me. Sunday, it's not going to get any easier. On the road, the next 2 games are going to be, you know, just as good. And we got to be better. Honestly, and again, I'll say it again, it starts with me. You know, I'm holding myself accountable for that. And, I can't say much more than that. I'm just disappointed.
Okay, thank you.
Next up, Kyle Austin.
And I had a similar question. Obviously, you have a lot of games coming up, not a whole lot of prep time. How do you improve a lot without being able to get on the practice court a whole lot coming up?
It's a question of our ticker. It's not a question of getting shots up or understanding things. It's attention to details. Like I said, it's the intangible things. The question of our heart, are we going to rebound, defend? Are we going to run? Are we going to follow this kind of report? It's just how basketball works. And we have to do those things, and the rest will follow after that. But if we have another approach like that, like we did, man. And again, I say it again, it starts with me. And if we do that again, it'll just be ugly.
All right. Question from Matt Charbonneau.
Aaron, I know you said you're not pinning this on the 20 days off, and you've given us a lot of reasons here. In the last couple of days when you guys were able to start practicing more as a team, did it feel like there was continuity there, or did you kind of feel like things weren't exactly, you know, gelling so much the last couple of days?
Practices were fine. We weren't hard. We got after it. You know, the return was nothing shy of what we expected. But we have to have carryover, and it starts in the preparation on the plane on the way here, when we land at the hotel, pregame meals, on the bus, the approach. That's just what it is. You know, been here 3 years, one game's here, and those when the games are won. And I'm sure we'll find our way. I'm sure. I'm not letting that happen that we don't. But tonight we just, it's on me.
Thanks.
Again, thoughts from head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, Tom Izzo, and star guard Aaron Henry, who has not played like a star in recent games, folks. Again, your thoughts on the Michigan State loss to Rutgers, and can they turn this baby around and make the tournament? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And also, I got to acknowledge it, you know, even though I don't really want to, but that Miles Johnson put back poster, whew, yeah, that made SportsCenter's top 10 plays last night. Whew. So call in, leave us a voicemail there. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll put a bow on this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, folks, just want to take you on home. We just have a few minutes left here in the hour. I do want to pass along some news that the Detroit Lions have hired Mark Brunell as quarterback's coach. This is the first NFL coaching job for the 19-year vet who last played in the league back in 2011. Brunell, he is expected to tutor the Lions' first new full-time starting QB in over a decade, as Detroit is seeking to trade Matthew Stafford. And we'll see who they get, you know, and possibly at, you know, with that seventh pick in the draft, you know, we may see the Lions pull the trigger on one of the quarterbacks in the draft class, but we'll see. Also, how about the LA Lakers? Yeah, they fell to my Detroit Pistons last night. The defending champion, Los Angeles Lakers. I have to say, without Anthony Davis, but still, you got one of the greatest players in basketball history still on your roster in LeBron James. With LeBron, the Lakers lost to my Pistons, 107-92, the final. L.A. only had 34 points in the second half. That's the fewest the Lakers have scored in any half since LeBron James joined the franchise 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, back in 2018. They were outscored 25-14 in the fourth quarter by a Pistons team that came into the night with the second worst record in the league at 4-14. They went scoreless for nearly 7 minutes. Pistons for the finals, baby. Let's go! Hey, man, it happens. It happens, right? Even a broken clock is right twice a day, all right? So my Pistons get the win last night. I'm very, very excited about that. We'll see if we can get a dub against the Golden State Warriors tomorrow night at 10 p.m. We'll see. But, folks, again, no NFL this weekend. You know, conference championship weekend is already done now, and, you know, we get that 2 week break until the Super Bowl occurs next weekend, you know, on the 7th. Looking forward to, of course, Tom Brady versus Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs and the Buccaneers. But until then, just kind of, you know, get some errands done, man. You know, do some errands, run some errands, and watch Michigan State men's basketball on Sunday at 1 p.m. on CBS. Check that one out, all right? That should be fun. And until we meet again, folks, on Monday, I want you all to continue to be safe, be smart. Hopefully we're talking about a Michigan State men's basketball win on Monday. But as always, folks, please be easy, people.